and beauty. That sounds very good, doesn't it? So does desert. Our subject, Garments of Glory and Beauty, is found in the 28th chapter of Exodus, verses 2 and 4. Jehovah is speaking to Moses. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. Now this is a description of the apparel to be worn by the chief actor in the tabernacle services, namely the high priest. And practically 40 verses of this chapter are devoted to the tailoring of these special garments. And as you read this particular chapter, you'll notice the great detail and the exactness that was required. Now, it is Paul that calls our attention to the tabernacle services, telling us that they were a shadow of good things to come, a shadow of the reality. And then he suggests that these shadows were to be instructions for the church. This was to be an educational ritual for you and for me. And hence we note the carefulness in all particulars, in its construction as well as its services. Well, anything intended for the purpose of instruction must be made with utmost accuracy. For example, industry will have scale models of their products for the purpose of instruction. The automobile industry will build a scale model of the automobile before the real one is built. And this model is perfect in every detail. And so the Lord gave us also a model in detail, a model of the reality. And so, to assure that this model would be perfect in every detail, the penalty for any violation, either in the construction or in the services themselves, was death. Our study of the tabernacle should be thorough. We must be acquainted with the structure and what it means. We must be acquainted with the furniture and its significance. We also must be acquainted with the actors and the particular parts they played in this spiritual presentation. Of all the various actors playing their particular parts, the most important actor was the high priest of Israel. His movements, his dress, is very important to us. Now, upon the completion of the tabernacle proper, before the services actually commenced, we're told that Moses was instructed to anoint the complete tabernacle and all the articles therein. And then he poured that same anointing oil upon the head of Aaron, who stood at this particular moment in these beautiful robes of glory and beauty. Now let's examine these typical robes worn by the high priest of Israel. Now, unless you see these garments in full color, you cannot appreciate the beauty in them. And we trust that with this picture, it'll help you appreciate the beauty that they had. Now, before the high priest actually put on these garments, He was instructed to wash himself completely. And after washing himself completely, he was to put on these garments in a certain sequence. And this is given to us in Leviticus 8, verses 6 to 12. Now on our picture chart, the column to the left gives us the individual pieces of garments. The column to the right gives us the significance of these typical garments. And we read our chart across. For instance, the ephod represents covenant, two of them. So as we read this chart together, you'll notice how it's read. Now the first piece of clothing that the high priest put on was this embroidered coat. This was made of white linen with special embroidery work on the fringes. And then to hold this garment together towards the waist of the priest, there was a linen girdle. This linen girdle is not seen on the picture, but it's underneath these garments. Then there was the upper robe of blue. This was unusual in the fact that its fringe had an array of pomegranates and golden bells. Then came the most colorful of this attire, that is the ephod. This was made of cloth. The colors were purple, blue, scarlet, white, and had gold wire. In order to hold this ephod in place, it was connected with golden clasps resting on the shoulders of the high priest. And then in addition to that, to hold these two pieces together, which there was a front and the back, there was a curious girdle. And then came the breastplate, which had 12 precious stones upon which were inscribed the various tribes of Israel. And then the final piece of attire was the mitre made out of white linen, went around his head, and then there was a golden crown fastened to that mitre with a blue lacer, and upon this golden crown were inscribed the words, Holiness to the Lord. Now as you count up the various pieces, you'll notice that there were 7 distinct pieces of clothing. And 7 is a divine number. And so as the high priest stood before Moses in this beautiful attire, there he was symbolizing the great antitypical priest, the Christ complete. God was giving us a model of the real antitypical priest. Now each of these 7 articles of clothing picture to us the powers and the qualities of the Christ. Now let's consider some of these garments, all 7 of them in fact, and see what they signify. The first one, the embroidered coat, made of white linen. In the Bible, white symbolizes purity. Now notice that this particular coat covered only the body. It didn't cover the head. And this shows how the church actually needs a covering. We're given a robe of righteousness. And you and I are supposed to embroider the Christian graces upon this robe. And then to hold this embroidered coat to the body of the priest, there was this linen girdle. A girdle always represents service. And since it was white, it meant that this servant would be a righteous servant. Then came the upper robe of blue.
And this brings us to the first color in this attire. You notice that all the colors in the tabernacle are selected for a given reason. Each color is suggestive. Each color has a lesson in it. Blue, in the Bible, represents faithfulness. For example, in Numbers, the 15th chapter, verses 38 to 39, there we find that every Israelite was required to sew on the fringe of his garment a ribbon of blue. And this was to remind the Israelite of his faithfulness to his God and his covenant with him. Then again, blue is emphasized when the various pieces of furniture were covered when the furniture was to be moved to a new location. And the last covering that was placed upon the Ark of the Covenant was a beautiful cloth of blue. This picture, the faithfulness of our God. Not only to the church, but also to the world at the present time. Israel was a type of the world, and they saw this Ark of the Covenant going through the camp with this cover of blue, God's faithfulness. Now on this upper robe of blue, on the fringe, there was this array of pomegranates and golden bells. Now that's a rather strange way of trimming a garment, is it not? But God designed this special garment. He had certain reasons for designing it the way he did. This is very significant. God selected that particular fruit, the pomegranate, because for its size, it is a choice fruit. And then that faithfulness, that blue, indicates that the church has borne rich fruit along with Jesus Christ. And then those golden bells, they signify that when that high priest comes in glory and in power, they're going to begin sounding, and they're going to call attention to this fruit, the fruit of the sacrificial work of the head and the church, the body. Now the next article of clothing was the ephod. Now this was the most colorful of the attire, made of cloth, purple, blue, scarlet, white, and gold. And all of these were interwoven in a most wonderful way to produce a beautiful, pleasing pattern. Now this ephod, as we mentioned once before, had two distinct parts. There was a front part and a back part. This ephod represents the two covenants of God. That front part, which came first, the Abrahamic covenant, and the back part, identically in size and in material, the new covenant. Now notice that both of these covenants, the Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant, rest upon the shoulders of this high priest. He is to carry those covenants. He is to fulfill the various features of those two covenants. Then notice that the high priest had this ephod fastened with golden clasps. Gold is a symbol of divine power. And so both of these covenants are going to have the help of divine power. In addition to the gold clasp, we have the curious girdle. We mentioned the girdle before, didn't we? That was a different kind of a girdle, a linen girdle. But this curious girdle, and it's specifically stated as such, was made of the same material as the ephod, and it held this ephod together. This also indicated a servant, because that was a girdle, but the fact that it was made of the same material as the ephod indicated it would be directly connected with this garment. It will be directly connected with the Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant. So this servant will serve especially these two great covenants of Jehovah. Notice next the color scheme of this ephod: purple, blue, scarlet, white, and gold. These colors are very significant. These colors show the conditions of these two covenants. The scarlet, or the red, pictures the blood of Jesus Christ, the ransom. You take the ransom out of these two covenants, and they will fail. And then that white linen that was interwoven show what these covenants will do for mankind. They were going to restore mankind back to the purity that Adam had before he sinned. And then the blue again, representing faithfulness. Faithfulness on behalf of Jehovah, who is going to maintain man's perfection if he obeys. And then the purple color. Purple in the Bible always represents royalty. And it's interesting to note here that the brazen altar, when it was being prepared for transit to a new location, the first covering that was placed upon the brazen altar was a cloth of purple. And then after that purple cloth was put on, then seal skins were put over that to hide it. The world doesn't recognize Jesus as a king. There's no beauty in Jesus, as far as they're concerned. But God can see underneath that sealskin. He can see the purple cloth indicating the royalty of Jesus. He was to be the king. He was to be the head of the royal priesthood. And in that capacity, he would carry out the conditions of these two covenants. And then the gold wire that was so skillfully woven into this fabric, creating this wonderful design. Gold is a symbol of divine power, as we mentioned, showing that all of these blessings are going to be guaranteed by divine power. Notice that this ephod laid on two garments. It laid on the upper robe and on the embroidered coat. One was white, one was blue. And these two covenants are going to be based upon faithfulness and purity. Now the next article of apparel was the beautiful breastplate. This was perhaps the most beautiful and the most intricate of the entire apparel. It was made of the same material as this ephod, but it had 12 precious stones embedded in gold, upon which were inscribed the various tribes of Israel. For this particular piece, the Bible gives us the measurement. And it says that this particular breastplate was 2 spans long. 1, 2, and a span across. But as it laid upon the breast of the high priest, it was folded together, and it became 1 span high, 1 span across. And in it, as we mentioned, in gold were set these precious stones. Now this represents the law of God. And the fact that there were two identical pieces would picture to us the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. But when it was folded together, all you could see is the front. And this was fastened with golden chains going up to the shoulders of the high priest. Now this measurement of a span would indicate that the law of God is the full measure of a perfect man's ability. Jesus demonstrated that for us when he showed us that a perfect man could keep God's perfect law. But his body members have to have this righteousness imputed to them. And that's why we have it written that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. And this is emphasized by this front part of this breastplate. As the spirit of the law were the jewels the church is set in. And this fits in with Malachi's words when he said, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels." These are the jewels he was speaking of, 144,000 jewels. And then to complete the dress of the high priest, there was this mitre of white linen placed around his head, around which there was attached to a golden crown with a blue lacer. And then upon this crown, the inscription, "Holiness to the Lord." This mitre, made of white linen, pictured again righteousness. Anything that's white is pure and right. And this signified to us that since this golden crown was attached to that mitre, it pictured that that crown righteously belonged to the high priest. He had earned it. It belonged to him. This golden crown indicated royalty, kingship, one that was in authority. This means that this high priest is going to have two titles rolled into one. And the prophet Zechariah says that in just so many words when he says that this Christ is to be a priest upon a throne. Two titles rolled into one, a priest and a king. And then that inscription on his crown, "Holiness to the Lord," proclaimed that this high priest is devoted completely to the work that he was assigned to by Jehovah. And so we have seven distinct pieces of attire. Number seven, a divine number, perfection. And so this high priest will be perfect in every detail, nothing lacking. And each color and each article portraying the qualities and the powers of the great antitypical high priest. And then to complete this picture, there Aaron stood, arrayed in these beautiful garments, Moses taking the anointing oil and pouring it upon his head. What a beautiful picture of the real anointing, the anointing of the Christ. Jesus, the head, was anointed at the age of 30. Remember that anointing oil in the type was only poured upon the head, no place else. And so that teaches that we in the church are not anointed individually, one by one. No, but we come underneath this anointing of the anointing of the head. We come underneath that. And it seems that David caught the beauty of this picture because in the 133rd Psalm, you remember, where he speaks of this anointing oil as that precious ointment that ran down even Aaron's beard down to the very skirt of his garment. A complete anointing of the Christ. This oil represents the Holy Spirit, and that began to reach the church at the day of Pentecost. And throughout this gospel age, it's been running down, anointing all the members, those that are truly baptized into Christ. And so we see Aaron robed in these beautiful garments, anointed by Moses, represents the great and the typical high priest. The seed of Abraham, who in full power and glory is going to carry out the provisions of this front part and also the back part. The provisions of these two great covenants, the Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant. Both of these are going to be fulfilled by the great and the typical priest. And so, seeing this beautiful type, going over our chart again, the embroidered coat representing the purity of this high priest, that linen girdle holding this together, picturing a righteous servant, then that beautiful upper robe of blue, representing the faithfulness. Then the ephod, the beautiful ephod, representing the two covenants, the Abrahamic and the new covenant. That curious girdle holding this attire together, showing that he was a servant of these two covenants. And then that beautiful breastplate, representing the law of God. The letter and the spirit. And then that mitre to which that crown was attached, picturing righteousness. And so may we be faithful to our covenant, so that a day will come when we will actually put on these antitypical garments and will be clothed with power and glory to fulfill the conditions of those two covenants and share in the work of blessing mankind.
Brother Chandler, our next speaker, states that his subject is all